Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's a practical guide or system for helping business owners achieve their desired success. The process consists of six key components, which I'll explore with my guest today, Chris Duncan, a certified EOS implementer, serial entrepreneur, and founder of Accelerate Well. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So before we get going, what I'd like to do is have you tell the audience about your company and about you, and give them some perspective of who you are.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so Accelerate Well is my little consulting practice or coaching practice, and what I do is I coach leadership teams, entrepreneurial leadership teams, and my background really is entrepreneur. I started my first company at 16 and kind of got the bug. I knew at a young age I wanted to live that life and be an entrepreneur, and kind of had that through, you know, high school and college. Mm-hmm. And then when I got out, I actually majored in, got a degree in entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And just knew that was the path for me and started my first company, my first tech company at 24, and built that with my team into the market leader. And that was good. And over the next several years, I built four other companies and sold three. One was a total train wreck. So I learned a lot in all that too. And so anyway, I've been an entrepreneur for more than 35 years. So learned a lot about myself, about people, about teams, and about business in that time.
Okay, very cool. Actually, my first business, I was 23, and it took off. It was in the film industry. Mm. So it was a company down here we started called Film Cannery, and our strategy was to bring Hollywood to Orange County. So we were a little ahead of ourselves. My partners were 45 and 46. I'm 23. They're telling me stuff. I'm listening to them, and it was up and down and out and dead within 8 months. But what I learned was just incredible.
Yeah.
And that experience, more than I ever learned in school, in the sense, right? Because you're really experiencing and understanding, looking at numbers and doing all that stuff. And then it was only 7 years later, I went and started my second company, which over the next 13 years grew and got to sell it, opportunity to sell that.
Nice.
And you know, I've done a couple of those. But I call it litter along the road or dead bodies along the road that I've had many that I thought were great ideas and just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's, I call it scar tissue.
Scar tissue, there you go. And I think that's probably something that you see in we're going to talk about EOS and
sure,
as an implementer in a second, but I would imagine you see all the time, because I believe that entrepreneurs just fall in love with what they're doing in their business, and sometimes they, more often than not, they can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. People fall in love with their idea, they get super passionate about it, and lots of times it takes over their life. And obviously that's not good if you want to live kind of a life where you have, you know, great family and great friendships and all these other things in life. And so it is this interesting balance of how do you build a great company and live a great life.
Yeah. I heard that phrase called balance, life balance.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I've never experienced it, but I've heard about it. No, I mean, it's true. I forget who said this. I don't know if it was on the show or someplace I heard it, and something I was listening to that's talking about a life balance, that the key to it starts with you.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Work, life, but it's up to you to make the conscious decision to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that starts with a vision. Like, what do you want from life?
Yeah.
And then you build your life around that as opposed to letting life kind of take us. And again, the entrepreneurial dream, that can really suck people in. One of my friends years ago, he said, life is a struggle for balance and then you die.
Mm. Great.
I thought, man, there's some truth to that one.
Yeah, isn't it? Oh, man. Well, before we kind of get into a little bit about you as an entrepreneur, and then certainly EOS, I ask these questions of all my guests, and
okay,
I'm going to ask them of you. When it comes to growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
I think it's finding the right clients. I mean, it's really two things. One is my practice is pretty full, so I'm not dying to get new clients and stuff. And so that's really nice. It's a nice place to be. But it's about really getting clients that fit who I am and who I can really kind of uniquely add value to. So I think that's a big part of it. And then the other part of it, you know, one of my top five strengths on StrengthsFinders is responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, even though I'm not running the businesses of my clients, I feel the weight. And so I just have a lot of responsibility. So I'm always thinking, how can I add more value? How can I add more value? And so that would be something that can keep me up at night for sure.
Well, it definitely keeps me up at night because, like you, I mean, part of it, the counsel that we're giving is how do we keep moving them forward, and of whether they're following the things that they're supposed to be following, are they doing the things they're supposed to be doing, and then circling back, and it's like, okay, if they don't do this, I actually have worked with a company, and we laid a playbook out, and, you know, they wanted to take the training wheels off and run with it on their own. And so I constantly go in and I'll monitor, and it's like, okay, this was supposed to happen. No, I wasn't copied on that. Oh, I didn't see it again. They're off path, they're off plan because something got in their way and no one's really kind of pushing them and keeping on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, yeah, that can happen. And sometimes we know exactly what to do, but we don't have it within us to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And I think that's where you and I, we get to come alongside people and kind of coach them up and say, well, help me understand what's holding you back, what's going on there, and kind of, you know, breathe kind of support and grace into them and encouragement to help them make the decision mm-hmm. they know they need to make. Because sometimes it's just as obvious. And of course, it's not them, by the way. That's me too.
Right.
So I need that in my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. I need someone helping me.
Yeah, exactly.
How much do you think, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but with EOS in the sense of there's a process to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's six components of it. How much of working the program versus, I'll call it, coaching, kind of what we're talking about, where you're kind of like, you need to do these things and you're cheering them on the sidelines versus, you know, them kind of implementing them themselves. So, I mean, implementer kind of coach.
Yeah, it's a great question. EOS is a phenomenal framework. Like, it absolutely works as a framework. And so we have this thing we call EOS Pure. We really want to do it the way it's been designed. And so it's been designed, there's more than 50,000, you know, people like myself, we got like 300 of us around the country. We're called EOS implementers, or around the globe, I should say. We're called EOS implementers. And together we've done more than 50,000 full day sessions for more than 7,000 leadership teams.
Wow.
And so it's not like I need to go reinvent something. Like, that would actually be counterproductive to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's about, somebody once said, where like EOS is the lyrics and I bring the music.
Okay.
And so you want to follow it, you want to do it all. And there's coaching involved. It's, you know, a big part of this is creating a safe environment, because we get together and I coach the whole leadership team and we do offsites together. And so lots of times there's tension, right? There's history there, and there's been turf wars in the past, or just harsh comments that somebody's holding on to. And so there is this dynamic when I walk in the room that I don't really have knowledge of, but you can sense it, right? Mm-hmm. I sense it in the room. And so a lot of it is I'm just trying to work with those people in the room to create an open, honest, safe, transparent, vulnerable environment where people can be real, come out, and be respected no matter what, in a very respectful environment. So I find that's where the coaching kind of comes in a lot, is creating that environment where people feel like, oh, okay, I can go there and I'm going to be protected as I step out on that limb. Chris has got my back. And then other people see how they respond and you go, oh, well, that didn't kill me. That guy didn't get killed when he took that risk and said that about the boss or whatever. And
you
create this environment where it just becomes really, really healthy.
I'm not an EOS implementer. I do have some programs when I start off working with a client, doing an assessment and an alignment, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. It's individually, I want to understand where they are in their head as far as the vision of the company and what they think their brand is, if you will, or mm-hmm. any issues. And then I aggregate all that and then play it all back to them. And the goal of those meetings, because most likely they're not in alignment, is to bring them in alignment before we can go forward. Because how do you do brand strategy and marketing and all these other things if you've got 10 people that aren't in alignment at all? They're all over the place. So some similar things there.
Mm-hmm.
Another question I ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever given and or received, if it's different?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, right? I mean, like, I guess the thing that pops into my head is be you. Like, there's nobody that can be Chris Duncan other than me. Like, God made me to be me, and that to the extent I live into that and mature into who he made me to be and take on and grow in those skills and all that stuff, then I'm really a great Chris Duncan, and I bring that to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially early on in my career, I'd look at that person and go, oh my gosh, they're just amazing at that. Maybe they're a great public speaker, or maybe their brain works so fast, I wish I had that. And there was lots of wishes and wants too. And I, in that, I would kind of feel less about myself. It's like, well, I'm not good enough because I can't do that or that or that. And it's like, well, that's not really the deal. I just need to be the best I can be. And as I grow and am comfortable in that, then I have more confidence and more abilities, and I just keep honing and refining that. And so I think getting comfortable in your own skin and who you're made to be, and then honing the skills and gifts that you've been given, that creates all kinds of great fruit in your life. I mean, obviously in a business it does, because you can lead and I don't have to pose and posture and pretend like I have it all together, because I know I don't have it together. Everybody else knows I don't have it together. I might as well not pose and pretend I do, because everybody knows I don't. And so it just gives me confidence and peace, and then I can create that environment for others. Well, of course, you take that home too. Like, if you don't have to pose and posture around your family and your friends and your kids and try and be perfect and, it's like, that's just not good. So that's been really life-giving.
Yeah, great advice. I like that. I mean, a part of the show is, as you know, it's about business growth, business advice, tips and tricks, if you will, that it can help my listeners. And that certainly is some great advice as we just getting into the show. So hang on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a lot of good stuff coming your way. So real quick, so you touched on it, and I called you a serial entrepreneur, and you've had, I've got this Simply Win, Convene, Regal Technology, I think probably was your first company, right, because technology?
Yep.
What made you decide to take that route as a consultant or an entrepreneur? I know it drove me, but what drove you to, at an early age, to step out and pursue that?
I think it was two things. I think it was freedom. I looked and I saw the entrepreneurial kind of life, at least as how I perceived it, as being freedom. One with options, like, hey, this is, you get to do fun stuff, you get to do great stuff. If you do well, it works financially, which I had a strong desire back in the day. You know, I grew up in the 80s, and so there was that whole kind of like, let's go for the money deal.
Yeah, let's get the money. Show me the money.
Yeah, and so, the freedom and the money piece, and that was really attractive to me. And of course, over time, you kind of get to the point in life where you make enough money, you're like, oh, this ain't about money, is it? And so you get to, ask deeper questions in life. But yeah.
Okay. Do you find now, if we look at the challenges? I mean, you had several different businesses. They were not all the same, right?
Right.
So they're very.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was Simply Win?
Simply Win was a software company.
Okay.
So it was software as a service to help companies get everybody aligned, the leadership team. There's like lots of software technologies or software solutions out there for project management, but there really was, at the time I started it, very little, almost non-existent, of strategic alignment.
Okay.
So helping companies get kind of aligned at the strategic level and get that cascaded throughout the whole company so everybody's rowing in the same direction.
Okay.
And then there was also a kind of a team health component in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was Convene?
Convene was actually a peer group, a CEO peer group.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think you started with 20 people and grew it to 400, was it?
Yeah. When I became a member of it, and I got great value of it when I started as a member of that. And then just felt like after 5 years a member, like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is really working. We felt like it was time to grow it around the country. And so I kind of sold majority interest in some businesses and went on to take that on full time. And when I started, we had 20 entrepreneurs here in Orange County. And about a decade later, we had 400.
Is it still called Convene? Because I've actually never heard of it. I mean, being so I know Vistage and Critical Mass and Renaissance and them. And I actually, Vistage was a client of mine for like 4 years. So part of my job was to do competitive analysis. I don't think I ever ran across Convene. So.
Yeah. I mean, Vistage is obviously 20,000 or something.
The behemoth. Yeah.
Yeah. And Convene is a faith-based version.
Okay.
So it's kind of, how do you build a business and have peers in here giving you advice around it? How do you build a great values-based business?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit like Fusion.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So in growing these businesses, and again, they're different, and I want to put a perspective to it, the challenges you faced there, are they the same challenges you face in growing your EOS business? Or is it different?
I would say some are similar, right? I think one of the biggest things about growing a business, if you really want to grow a business kind of the way I would define success, which is kind of this holistic life success, is a lot of that's at you. It's you as a leader, right? It's who am I as a leader? And so to the extent that I run up against walls, okay, what do I need to grow in? How is that exposing something in me? How do I need to keep growing? That's consistent throughout every entrepreneur endeavor, right? And probably anything in life when you're growing. You hit walls, you can either shrink back from them, you can get plateaued, or you can figure out a way to break through. So I think that's been very consistent. Probably the biggest difference is this is not a team deal. I love working on teams. I love leading teams. And where what I do is just kind of, it's me and I'm coaching entrepreneurial leadership teams.
Well, that's the one thing I like when I go into an organization that has staff already and I'm kind of overseeing that staff. All of a sudden, I have an instant team. I mean, I had one where I had 7 marketing people and about 12 salespeople that I was kind of overseeing. one a few years back between I had sales, marketing, and HR, which people go, hey, you're a marketing guy, we get it with HR. But it was more about integration in the business because we had employee issues and we were growing very quickly and sales needed a lot of people and I was involved in all that. So I love the teamwork. I love the collaboration. I love being able to provide leadership, not necessarily being just a leader.
Right.
Right. As opposed to do this, I want people to be inspired and whatever tools I can give them, paying it back, if you will, or a mentor of mine, well, when I first started off and he was doing all these great things for me. And I said, you know, what can I do for you? Can I take you to dinner? Or, you know, whatever I could do. I don't have any money. He says, someday you'll be in a position to pay it forward or pay it back. And, and that's what I want you to do. And so I always get involved when I can in doing mentoring programs or whatever it happens to be. So way off topic. Let's come back now. Let's talk about EOS.
Yeah.
So give the audience that may or may not know about it a 30,000 foot view of it.
Sure. So EOS, it stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. And it was created by a guy named Gino Wickman. And Gino is a serial entrepreneur out of Detroit. And he was kind of, when he was growing his businesses, kind of really a student of how to build a great business. And then also was in a peer group and kind of learned from others and how do you do this right. And so when he sold the family business, he decided to say, you know what, I'm gonna pursue this full time. And that's when he really began putting together EOS, which EOS, it's kind of a time, it's got a simple set of practical tools and they're really timeless concepts. And what's fascinating in it is like, there's nothing that anybody sees in EOS and goes, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's rocket science. Like my experience is like the stuff is the uniqueness of it is that it all actually works and it works together. Cause I've seen so many things out there that are really good and they're good theory. But the minute you actually try and do them in a business, you're like, oh, this isn't actually working. That's the genius of EOS. And so it's really designed to do three things for entrepreneurial teams. It's called vision, traction, healthy. So vision is just getting everybody 100% aligned with where you're going and how you plan to get there, right? And again, we start at the leadership team level because most of the time leaders are not on the same vision. They're not aligned going forward. The second one is traction. And so traction is all about building discipline and accountability, starting at the leadership team, and then taking it through the organization. And the last one's healthy, which is just becoming more healthy, cohesive, open, honest team. Because again, most of the teams aren't. They've just had other things happen in life and you get leaders together and sometimes you get banging heads. And so it's how do we create a team that's really gonna be healthy going forward?
Sure, now this isn't, let's have a retreat over the next 3 days and do this thing. This takes time.
Yes.
So what's the investment of a business's time?
Yeah, so it's kind of a 2-year journey to get this into the DNA of a company. And so we start out, we do, you know, kind of 3 offsites within about 60 days. And so we do a lot of intense work getting the foundational tools really taken in and getting the vision completely aligned on kind of at the company level. So the leadership team, everybody's stacking hands bought in going, yes, that's where we're going. That's who we are. Let's go. And then we start doing quarterlies and annuals. And we just do that until they've got it into their DNA. Okay. So one of our goals is really to create independence. So we don't want people hanging around forever. Like that doesn't feel like success to me. Like your kids, you know, we were just talking about kids before we came on, you know, you want to raise your kids up and launch them and let them go. Like that's kind of my role.
Okay. Now, so you said vision, traction, and healthy. And then there's those 6 key components, which are vision, data, process, traction, issues, and people. Now, obviously we don't have time because you do this over several weekends to dig into each one of these. But if I was going to pick one, my guess is vision is the most important because nothing else would really going to work unless the vision of the organization is clear. Now,
yeah,
did I hit that right or did I not?
It's fascinating. I don't know that I could pick one. It's kind of interesting because if you focused on vision, but you didn't do the other 5 or you were weak in the other 5, you'd never accomplish the vision.
Okay.
Yet if you had, you know, a super strong data component, and the other ones weren't great, you'd know kind of where you were failing maybe or where you're succeeding. But it really is this combination, and that's the beauty.
The integration
the synergy.
Of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me rephrase my question then.
Yeah.
If I had to start with one, where would I start?
Yeah, it's interesting. At EOS, we take a traction first, vision second approach.
Okay, interesting.
Which is really interesting because most of the time when people take leadership teams off site, they start with vision and they create this grand thing and it's awesome and we're going to go do this in the next 10 years or 30 years, whatever, and people get excited about it and then they go back to their office and it's stick it on a shelf and they don't look at it again. right?
Yep, that's absolutely.
All the time happens.
Yeah, a lot of stories about that.
Yeah. And so we start with traction. Like, how do you build discipline and accountability in the organization? And then we actually create the vision. Now that I know we're going to sit here and let's say you're in charge of revenue, right? Which would be a normal place for you to be mm-hmm. at the table. If we're sitting there and we're doing vision before we do discipline, accountability, or traction, you might say, oh yeah, we're going to go from 10 million to, you know, people in the room like, let's go to 100 million in the next 7 years. And you're like, oh, I'm not sure, but okay. Whereas if we go, hey, okay, Angelo, you're in charge of revenue. Can you get to 100 million after we built in discipline and accountability? You know, everybody on the table is looking at you for that. You're like, hey guys, how about we go to 50?
Okay.
Right. And so it introduces some reality into the mix.
All right. That makes sense to me now. Okay. Yeah.
Then okay. you have more bought in because you don't want, you're not really bought in if you're like, it's, hey, that sounds good. High five. Let's go home. Like that. You really have to know we're committed. We're actually going to go do this. Let's go. So you have to actually believe it. So if you do traction first, then the vision, you actually believe the vision.
Okay. I got that. So let's give me a story. Give me a story about one of your clients.
Sure.
You don't have to obviously tell me their name, but
yeah.
that have implemented the program, done it well, got off track, you know, because I assume it's accountability. So it's easy for someone to say, yeah, I did the program, but we didn't get traction on it because.
Yeah.
So give me a story.
So you want one that didn't work or you want one that does work?
Well,
or
we've got a few minutes. So, okay. Well, give me
so,
give
so I'll
me
tell you about one that's real current live.
Okay.
This is a live one. So when we got started with these guys and they're a contractor, it was three of them in the room. So that was their whole leadership team, just three people. And they were probably doing 13 million in revenue. And as we got going, we started doing this stuff. They started, okay, we're getting the structure in place. Oh, we need this person, this person, this person. You know, they started ramping up sales, cash flows there. So we're able to hire more people. Got to seven people on the leadership team, which is just amazing. Like they've just filled it out with great people. And then one of them's like, I'm not sure this one person's going to fit. And so right now they're kind of struggling through that. I'm not sure that is the right person for that seat. And so they're killing it. They're absolutely killing it. They probably grew 60% this year.
Wow.
In profits as well. And, you know, not all rainbows and butterflies, right? There's lots of stuff going on. But today they're so much healthier than they were. That they can spot that, have those hard conversations, and either bring that person up to speed or, you know, find another seat on the bus for them that's not on that leadership team.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right. I got 2 minutes. Give me one that didn't work.
One that didn't work. Probably the one that really bums me out that didn't work is got started with this company, and they were in urgency. Like, we got this company meeting in January. We got to roll it out to our whole team. We got to get the vision done. And I'm like, okay, but, you know, I don't really want to work with you unless you're committed to 2 years in the process. And that's not them signing an agreement with me for 2 years. That's just them being committed to the process for 2 years. Yep, good go. And then, you know, we get two sessions in, and they got into a cash flow crunch, and they got their big meeting over with, and then they went and faded away. And it just breaks my heart because we were starting to get traction, and the team really needed more help. Like, they had some really interesting dysfunction on that team. So we're just starting to get there. And then they went away. And so that was kind of like, ugh, it's just so sad when you can see it. I could see it getting better and I could see they need it so bad. And yet they weren't, you know, the leader primarily wasn't willing to stay engaged.
Well, I think that kind of reflects the fact we started this conversation is it's just too easy without that commitment that you make an investment and it just goes by the wayside because you're not following through. Like I was saying with my playbook, I think it was our conversation. Client starts to implement it. I'm out there watching them. Next thing I know, stuff's not getting done. Why? Because they're off doing other things.
Yeah.
Well,
the good news is that doesn't happen hardly at all because, again, especially today, I vet people more just to make sure you're going to be in it.
Sure. All right. Well, unfortunately, we just started to scratch the surface on this, but I think we maybe whetted some appetites for people out there about EOS and learning about it. So why don't you tell the folks in Radio Land how they can reach you and all that good stuff?
Sure. So my website is Accelerate Well. So it's acceleratewell.com. And, you know, feel free to ping me, Chris@acceleratewell.com.
And on LinkedIn and all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, fantastic. It's been a great conversation, and I know we've been talking about this, and I got to actually see you in action about a week ago, and got to go through two of the sections, and it's really fascinating. And I think that you know, a lot of businesses really should look at EOS. I think it could really help them as a way to keep focused. And thank you out there for listening and joining me at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, let others know how to sign up to become a subscriber so they can benefit from this great content like we heard today. You can go to thebusinessgrowthcafe.com or on any major podcast platform that you might be listening to. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.